Welcome to The Odyssey, a podcast by and about Mesa County Libraries. My name is David.
And I'm Bethany. This segment is brought to you by the 970 West Studio. Tap into your creativity at the 970 West Studio. Record a song, film a commercial, or take a picture of your artwork. Talk to a staff member to see how the 970 West Studio can bring your digital projects to life. Today we are talking to James Price, the head of the Literacy Center here at Mesa County Libraries. Welcome, James.
Well, thank you for having me. This is fun. I'm already enjoying just sitting here staring at you guys in this really awesome room.
We did not make it creepy right out of the gate, James.
Making direct eye contact the entire time.
I'm glad you're facing Dave and I'm kind of off in the corner.
Right. So I'm going to take all of your abuse. So just bring it on.
You got it. It's not abuse. It's love.
Okay. Well, James, so glad you could come on the show today.
Glad to be here. Setting the tone right from the beginning.
That's right. So like Bethany said, James is the head of the Literacy Center. Let's talk about that. What is the Literacy Center?
Well, when you think libraries, you don't typically think of literacy centers. You think of books. You think of maybe movies and things like that. But the Literacy Center is something that's really unique to our library in that we have the literacy services of Mesa County housed within our building. So I'm in charge of that. So literacy can mean lots of things. But what we focus on are four key areas. So we focus on helping people learn English. That's the majority of what we do. But then we have citizenship, we have GED, and we have what you would call adult basic literacy, which is people who have lived here their whole lives but can't read and write. So, yeah, those are our four key areas of what we do. So it's nice because we have a very supportive library, and I love being a part of Mesa County Libraries because of how awesome they are about supporting what we do.
That's right. And if you've never visited Mesa County Libraries, the Literacy Center is right downtown at the Central Library location, the lower level. There's a whole big office, computer lab, all kinds of cool things down there.
Exactly. So yeah, you walk downstairs, you see our office first thing when you come to the basement of the library, and you see our office there, and we are always telling people to just walk in because we're always there, happy to help no matter what the question is. Although we do focus on literacy, we have all sorts of people who ask for connections to resources or have questions about citizenship application. Of course, we can't help them do anything with that, but we can at least kind of point them in the right direction.
Right.
Can you give us some statistics on, like, maybe how many students you've had, how many volunteers you have?
A lot. Does that work?
Yeah, that's good.
That's all I have. I mean, I just...
Okay, how many people have graduated from the career online high
school? No, that wasn't serious. I was giving you real stats. It's part of what I do. I keep track of numbers all the time, so I'm happy to give you all the numbers I have.
I'm ready for it.
Okay. the volunteers, we average about 115 a year, with roughly about 100 active at a time. So if you walked into the Literacy Center right now, during a week you would see 100 different volunteers come through the door. So that's a lot. And we use those volunteers to reach, this past year we reached over 300 students, majority of those being from the volunteer program, but we are evolving in some interesting ways. I don't want to, you know, jump the gun a little bit and tell you too much because I want to save something for the rest of this podcast. But for the majority of the existence of the Literacy Center is really focused on bringing in volunteers, equipping them, and helping them help students in our classes.
So living in Mesa County, obviously literacy is a very important thing. Mm-hmm. What have you noticed trend-wise about Mesa County residents? What do they need help with? What areas are we best served?
Right. So it's very interesting to look at statistics over the past 4 or 5 years. The demand for our services has grown exponentially in just that amount of time, which is kind of wild to see. When I first came into the program, we served maybe, 100 or so students at a time, had about 50 volunteers, and it was very, kind of laid back, one-on-one. But when I got here 3 years ago, the waiting list was over 100 people long. Just crazy to see that the demand that we had for our program. And a lot of things have happened in Mesa County that have affected that. So I guess the main thing that's happened is our international populations has grown significantly. So people don't realize the different countries that are within Mason County. So in our with just within our program, we have over 30 countries represented and roughly 15 to 20 languages represented. And that's in Mason County. People don't even see that. People think Mason County is very homogenous and everybody looks the same and everybody thinks the same way. And just as you all know, you just have to scratch a little bit beneath the surface to realize that there's a lot more going on. So some of those populations that you can probably recognize, the Nepalese population, got some great food in this area yes. because of them. So thank you very much. We have Cambodian, Filipino. But then we go a little bit further and you see that there's a large Russian population because that's left over from the oil time that was here. And then, you know, they came here and then they brought their grandmothers and their cousins and they all moved here. And that's why we're able to have an Orthodox church in town, because you have the Greeks and the Russian population populating that church. Some other random ones, we have a surprisingly growing Italian population. So that's kind of unique. So yeah, that's what we do. We help people from different countries kind of get assimilated. And that's what we're really known for the most part, but we're trying to expand it to different areas now.
Yeah, that's a good thing to point out. One thing that we do at the library every year is Culture Fest, where we actually celebrate a lot of those cultures mm-hmm. that are here in town. So if you're interested in that, make sure to check out Culture Fest in November. But I like hearing those things because, you know, I've been in Grand Junction for a while, and after a while you start to think everybody's the same. Everybody thinks the same, mm-hmm. but that's not true.
And that's a great thing about the library. You walk in and there's so many different types of people just mm-hmm. in the library. And then you imagine how many other people are out there in our community and how different everyone is. It's so great.
Exactly. And you rarely find a good, healthy mixing pot of that mm-hmm. sort of blendingness of different demographics where people can come here that are poorer, that have lower English levels, that are different stages in life, and they can get help or just be here, you know, and they don't have to necessarily have a reason to be here. They can just hang out in the library.
Yeah. And to clarify for everyone, what the Literacy Center offers is free.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
no cost barrier.
No cost barrier at all. And one thing that I've strived to do and continue to strive with our programs is to just make sure that people know that everything we do is free, because that's the message of the library. So we don't want to drift away from that message in the Literacy Center. So teachers, books, everything is provided through the funding of the library or some other grants and stuff that we apply for.
Speaking of grants, where does the Literacy Center get most of its funding from?
I'm so glad you asked, a professional podcaster. most of our funding does come through what the library gets its funding from is the mill levy. But we have some great community partners that we apply for grants for, and they provide funding. The two I want to definitely highlight is United Way. So first and foremost, United Way has supported our program for years. And because our messaging lines up with what they want to do for the community, and they're more than happy to provide funding for additional resources. So we apply for a grant and they provide testing materials, because when people come in, we don't just say, hey, we're going to help you with literacy. We kind of need to know where you're starting from. And then as you go through the program, we can come back to you later and say, oh, well, 6 or 7 months later, here's a follow-up assessment. You've improved your literacy so-and-so points, right? So the funding from United Way helps cover the cost of assessments and for materials so that we can keep our program cost-free. The next grant that I want to talk about is a big one. It's $100,000.
Whoa.
Wow.
I know, right?
Never even imagined that much money before.
Never see that much money in my life ever.
Ever. No. $100,000 grant that we got through the Workforce Center here in Mesa County is a fairly new grant for our area. And we applied for it and we got the money. So I think the things that were definitely working in our corners, we had already established a good rapport with the community as an adult education center. So this grant adds on to what we do already by allowing us to hire teachers to teach GED classes and ESL classes, or what they call ELA, English Language Acquisition classes. And so that's huge, because before we were really just volunteer based, but now we're able to bring in really qualified teachers to help people reach these goals of getting the GED or learning English. I've really been impressed by our teachers. All of them have a master's in something, which is really crazy. I didn't really realize we'd had that kind of talent in our community that could do that. And so far it's going well. We launched classes back in January, and that launch went so well that we're looking to expand that here in the fall.
Great. And you're doing that in conjunction with the Workforce Center, right?
Exactly.
They're also leading classes at the Workforce Center?
Right. So to explain the relationship there between us and the Workforce Center, we are their general GED provider. So we provide it for anybody that walks through the door, 17 to 107. You know, that's just an imaginary number just throughout there. There's no cap. You could be 275, whatever. We do not discriminate age-wise. But what they do specifically, the Workforce Center, is they have a strong youth program that they bring in. They actually fund people to come to class. So people as part of that program get to get paid to go to class. And so it really works well for that age demographic. But there was definitely a vacuum left for the rest of the community. Like, who's going to help everybody else that's not, you know, 22 or 25 and younger? So that's where we've really seen a huge boom. We've seen people that come back later in a later stage of life and realize they hit age 30, 35, 40, and they've gotten as far as they're going to get in their job or their career choices, and they want more options. So by getting the GED through us, they open those doors.
That's great. James, how do you see the Literacy Center improving in the future?
So we definitely have goals to expand. Like I said, this program was just launched in January. It was kind of a soft launch. But even with that soft launch, we met the targets we had set for ourselves as part of that soft launch. And so since we were so successful with that, we are going into the fall full steam ahead. So we're going to have semester classes where people are going to be in subject-specific classes. So there's a math class, there's a language arts class. There are some developmental level classes, and we were going to have those in the morning and the evening. And we now have 5 paid instructors under that grant to provide those classes. So we started out with 3, and we were able to hire a few more. And it's just going to keep going from there, because we've also incorporated some 6-hour volunteer-led classes. So at this point, we are launching, let me do the math real quick in my head, 12 classes under this grant.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is really amazing. I was really kind of blown away by how successful this was, because I wasn't sure, because we, for the longest time, it had really just been, you come for an hour and a half a week. And so it's a really big paradigm shift to say, now we're going to start doing 6 hours a week. And I really wanted to kind of see, kind of gauge the interest from the community. And it was just a resounding, yeah, we want that. Because, I mean, when you have these kind of goals that are holding back in life, you want to overcome them now. You don't want to wait. You don't have to, you know, let life develop and take like years, what would take, you know, a fraction of that time if you're coming 6 hours a week as opposed to an hour and a half. So, yeah, the community feedback has been really great. And so that's why we had to create more classes. But that wasn't enough for my world domination plan. We needed to... community, what's a better way? Community support, right?
Right. Garner community support.
Yeah, there you go. Much better. See, and that's why you're in the communications department. So you're like, James, not world domination.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll edit all that out later. Support. We'll fix all this. Okay. We'll fix it all in post.
We'll use it as blackmail.
Okay, great. Because... when you're dealing with people in this demographic, as we've been talking about, we want to make sure people know that things are free. But one thing that was really kind of holding us back is the fact that the GED itself costs money. So even though our books and teachers are free, you're still having to shell out $150 to take a test. And to be honest, a lot of people that fit into this demographic that are trying to reach don't have $150 just sitting around to spend on a test. And we were seeing that. We were seeing people dropping out of the class because they had to choose between life, work, jobs, kids, rather than come to class because they had to line up their priorities just right. So we wanted to fix that. So I had a brainstorm, and I talked with Shauna, our amazing associate director, about this idea I had to use some of our grant funding to pay for GD tests. So I couldn't use the big $100,000 grant to do that, but I did have that United Way grant in our back pocket to possibly use for that. So I called up Julie Hinkson, the director here of United Way in Mesa County, and I gave her my idea to use their funding to pay for GED tests. And she was all for it. She said that totally lines up with what you set goal-wise for your organization and what we see as a goal for United Way. So I'm so glad to have that support to use the $5,000 that they provide through that grant to pay for GED tests. So that's what we're doing now. We've already paid for a few, and people have successfully passed the subject test through that grant. So we're moving forward with that. So hopefully that's going to continue to grow the program and eliminate all barriers to people getting and reaching those goals.
How cool.
Yeah, I've worked for the library for a hot minute now, and every day I feel like I learn something new about the Literacy Center. You guys have your hands in so many different things. It's amazing.
Thanks, man. I definitely want us to be not just a department in the library, but feel like an integral part of what the library does. Because, I mean, when we think about our core values, the learn, discover, create, connect. Wow, I remembered all four of those. I'm impressed with myself. the first one is learn. And when you look at our mission statement as a library, beneath that is not just learning, but literacy. And that's not just a credit to my department, but it's what the library is all about. People reading and accessing books and becoming more literate in whatever subject or space in life that is, as computer literacy. If they want to get better at, you know, fixing their car, we have access to that sort of literacy. So the Literacy Center is, I feel, an integral part of the library. And I want not just our department to see that, but the whole library to see it, and then the community to see us as a huge part of what the library does.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Great segment.
It's a good segue or... it's good diversion from what I do all the time.
Yeah.
Down in your basement.
In my basement where I stare at the wall and
plan world domination.
Plan world domination.
As you sign off, what's the best way to learn about the Literacy Center for people listening to the show?
The best way to learn about the Literacy Center is to go to our website. You can click under services, and we're on the drop down menu there for Literacy Center. But if you'd like to reach out to us directly, you can email us at literacy@mcpld.org, or you can call us at 970, of course, 683-2443. And we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Great.
Wonderful.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, guys.
This segment was brought to you by the Palisade Branch. The Palisade Branch is located in beautiful downtown Palisade. Make sure to stop by and visit, because there is more to Palisade than peaches.
Today we are talking with Dee, a youth collections librarian at Mesa County Libraries, about reader's advice and her take on reading and books in general. Welcome, Dee.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Good. So, to start, you've written quite a few books.
I have. I'm on a mission to put people together with the books they want to read. And there are so many gaps in figuring out what it is that you want to read that when I found out, well, I was contacted by a publisher several years ago who knew that I really liked to read and that I had read a lot and that I remembered what I read. And they had been publishing my very favorite reference book in the whole world, which was Genre Reflecting by UCLA professor Betty Rosenberg, who was in the process of dying when they were wanting the third edition of the book to come out.
Oh, no.
And so they were looking for somebody who could take over her work, and I had shared a cab with a few of their publishers. editors. And when they had a list of a dozen people across the country who they thought might be possibilities, I wrote a sample chapter for them, and the rest was history.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty lucky.
Can you talk about more, what is genreflecting? What does the book cover?
The book, okay, well, there's an entire series of genreflecting books. The main one is the genreflecting, and it covers popular fiction for adults. Has mysteries, science fiction, horror, westerns, just all the things that grown-ups like to read for fun. It has like brief synopsis of different books, and it groups them so that if you don't even know the name of the genre you like, but you know of a title that you liked, you can look that up, and from there you can find other authors. You can find out which subgenre it's in and find other things that might fulfill your needs.
That's super helpful, because I know when I first started out reading, I would just walk the stacks looking for books. And I would do the thing where, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. I would actually do that. I would choose the book I wanted to read based on the cover. But that sounds much easier.
Yeah, fake statistic. I think 99% of people do judge a book by its cover.
Which is unfortunate, because sometimes the ones with not as cool covers are really good.
Yeah, that's true. So I've never used a genre reflecting book before. If I wanted to do something like that, how do I even find one of these?
Okay, actually, mostly they're used by librarians to help guide people to the next book they want. So I would go over to the information services desk and ask those folks.
And then how would that conversation go? I would tell them I like fantasy books, or I like mysteries, or...
Well, usually with Reader's Advisory, people don't usually actually come up and ask. They are usually walking around in the stacks, kind of just browsing, and you can kind of tell that they're looking for something good to read, but they don't have anything specific in mind. And so chances are, if you are in the stacks at the same time I'm in the stacks anywhere in the library, I may approach you and say, are you finding what you're looking for okay? And usually people will say, oh, yeah, I'm just looking. But then an hour later, they'll come up to the desk and say, actually, I read a book a long time ago, and it was about this murder on an island. And I don't remember the author or the title, but I liked that. So one of the clues you have, it's a murder. And so you'll think, probably a mystery. And then you can go and look for different types of mysteries. So genreflecting will group them by different types. There's, you know, there's the police procedurals, which are standard. But then there's the real visceral, violent kind of mystery thriller. Or there's the sweet, cozy mysteries that I sometimes call the avocation mysteries, because somebody's always baking something or sewing something if they're not knitting.
Those are a hit, and they have the greatest names.
They do.
I love those. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I can't either, but I think I keep seeing flamingos in my mind.
So another thing that you do with us here at the library is you host a book club. It's called Kids Read, Choose Your Own Book Club. It's for kids ages 9 to 14. Can you explain kind of your thought process behind having the kids choose a book rather than assigning a book for them to read?
Okay. I have always been a major reader. Sometimes in my life, I've read 300 to 500 books a year.
Wow. Whoa.
And I know, it's an
ultimate
addiction.
Ultimate librarian.
It's
right
an
there.
Addiction. But in high school, I basically refused to read any of the books that were assigned. And we hadn't really had books assigned when I was in elementary school. So I knew that I don't like anybody telling me what to read. I want to find it and read it myself, but I want to have some clues. And so for the past 30 years or so, I've been doing teen book clubs where teens would pick what they wanted to read out of advanced copies that publishers send me. And that's, as the collections librarian, I find this great market research. So now that I'm working with the children's department, it seemed like a good chance to get some real upfront feedback from kids. So the way it works is we meet every single week at on Tuesdays at 4. There is no pressure to be there every single time. Kids and their families are really busy. So if they have soccer, if they have a play that they're in, you know, whatever they have going on in their life, it's okay for them to not come to book club for 4 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever. Because we always have it the same day, in the same time, in the same place. So they can just come back whenever. Okay, we start off by everybody talking about what they've read since the last time they were there. And we usually end up with two or three kids saying, oh, I want that one. I want that one. And then I'm going, okay, well, who wrote me a review? And if you wrote a review, you get first dibs.
Oh, okay.
And we do pass around the iPads, and we've got a form. And so the kids can put their reviews right there. And a lot of times these reviews end up in the library's blog. So you're getting recommendations, not from an adult, but from another kid who has read it and liked it.
Yep. The best thing about those kid reviews, too, is they're 100% brutally honest.
They are.
They don't sugarcoat anything.
They do not.
So if they don't like a book, they're going to let you know right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And you can find those blogs by going to our website, mesacountylibraries.org. On the bottom of the page, there's a scroll bar that has all of our past blogs. You can view all of them or just look at the most recent ones. Those ones specifically are under teen reviews, I believe.
There's one for kid reviews, too.
Teen reviews and kid reviews. So that's where you can access those brutally honest reviews from children and teens. They're great to read. I love those.
So Dee, when you're in this Kids Read book club, do you find that kids are more willing to participate when they have the choice to themselves?
Oh, yeah. If they are assigned a book, it's they have to do it. It feels like homework. It feels like school. And I really believe in the joy of reading. I think that everybody is a reader. There are so many people who have only tried to read what was assigned, and they've never had the joy of just immersing in a story that just sucks them in and won't let them go. So I have a bunch of reading rules.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay. Well, the first one is to quote Betty Rosenberg, and it's never apologize for your reading tastes.
I like that.
That is a good rule.
I like that.
My next thing is that no two people ever read the same book. And I came to that because Mo Willems, who some of you might know from Elephant and Piggy or Knuffle Bunny or some of those books, Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus.
Oh, those are awesome.
Yeah. I saw him on CBS Sunday Morning one time, and he was saying he only writes 49% of his books. What? Does he think he's James Patterson? I mean, what is going on here?
Ghostwriters?
And then he went on to explain that his readers write the other 51% of the books.
Right, like they fill it in with their imagination.
They do. And I've come to the conclusion that reading really is a creative activity. You are taking these marks, these just little black marks on a white sheet of paper that someone has put down this story, and you are turning them into living, breathing phoenixes or dragons or whatever. And you are seeing it. You are creating this whole world from this map that the writer has given you. So you're not going to get the exact same thing that they do. But when one person says, oh, this color is blue, somebody else will say, no, that's periwinkle. And somebody else will say, oh, no, it's more of a lavender. So there's a whole lot of individuality that comes into reading. So never apologize for your reading tastes. No two people ever read the same book. And one of the most important ones, I think, is to give people the permission to stop reading. If you're reading for enjoyment and you're not enjoying the book, stop. there's millions of wonderful reads out there that you can connect with. And if that one's not working for you, don't waste your time. Go to another book that you will connect with.
I love that. Because when I was little, which may be surprising, I didn't actually enjoy reading that much. I think it was just because I couldn't find the type of books that I liked. And I would often stop reading a book and return it. And I always felt bad that I hadn't read the book because somebody took the time to write it. But it just wasn't my thing. And it took a while for me to find books that I liked. And I really resonate with your advice of not finishing a book if you're not enjoying it.
And, you know, and the thing is that there's no real saying this is a good book or this is a bad book. It is all because it is that creative adventure that what's really boring to one person can be totally fascinating and enthralling to somebody else.
That's great, Dee. Just one follow-up question. If somebody was coming into the library and they didn't really know what was going on, maybe they needed some suggestions, what's something that you would give them? What advice would you give them about getting started? Like how to pick out a book?
Okay. I think that helping someone find books is really kind of establishing a relationship. And I'll ask them, you know, what books they have liked, what movies, TV shows, games they like, and help them go from there. If they don't have, you know, if they don't have a book that they've liked that I can go off of. And then just, I really like to send people out of here with a stack of 5 or 6 books, because what would happen if you started one and you didn't like it and you started the next one and that wasn't for you either? You don't want to run out of stuff to read. You want to always have something on hand to read. So you want to take many more than you can actually read in the amount of time, because if you end up loving them all, you can always renew them.
And that's a great thing about our library cards, is that if you have a full access library card, you can check out up to 40 items. Yeah. So you could check out 35 books. You may only like 10 of them, but you still have that option to check those out.
That is a great point, and it's so true. Okay, I just lost the thought. Sorry.
That's okay.
Do you have a book that you've read recently that you'd like to recommend to our readers? Just a quick synopsis about a book you've read recently.
Okay, I have a whole list, but okay. I'll just go with one. It's not out until October, which makes it really tough. You can always, as soon as it's in our ordering system, you'll be able to put holds on it. People probably hate hearing that, but maybe we'll know to order a lot of copies. Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo. She wrote the Grisha series for teens. This is an adult book.
Okay.
It is set on the Yale campus, where they have all those secret societies.
Ooh.
And it does involve murder and mayhem, and it has some really great horror elements. So far, it's the best book I've read this year.
Really? That sounds right up my alley.
Or my favorite book this year, because my best is not going to be everybody else's best.
I'm going to have to put myself on the holds list for that. If you don't know how to put items on hold, you can always call us at 970-243-4442. Or you can visit any one of our locations. Our staff are more than willing to help you learn how to do that or do that for you.
Great. Thanks, Dee. I really love your approach to reading, and I love the customer service that you bring to it as well. Like just trying to get people encouraged about reading. That's so refreshing.
Well, the more people that are reading, the more books that sell, the more publishers will publish, the more books that are available for me to read.
Oh, so you're selfish about it.
It is. I've got ulterior motives.
Well, we're lucky to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dee.
Thank you.
This podcast is recorded at the 970 West Studio at the Central Library in downtown Grand Junction. Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media for library updates. For more information about the library, visit mesacountylibraries.org.